We are reading from the Zohar, from the Parasha of Behar, section 6, blowing the shofar on the Jubilee. Verse 25. Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Taf Tzadi Kuf Reshayin Sintet Nun Nun Gimel Dalad Yud Kaf Shin Bet Tet Resh Tzadi Taf Gimel Chet Kuf Bet Tet Nun Ayin Pei and Vav Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shin Kuf Vav Tzadi Yud Taf. And the eighth verse we say silently. So nescharim tiru bekit koa shofar tishmeu kegavna david keyat shofar diobla kuhu evdin nafke lecherut haki before kana bit raita bitkat shofar mit kan shin kol Yisrael me'arba sitre alma di'inun avdin di'ovla temare Torah it bechon avdin almenat lekabel paras Veit kariu avde malka umatronita aval abano te malka kadisha va eshsaya etchem al kanfe nisharim veyayb avi Atchem Eilai Deinun Garpe Ivan Demerkev Kavta. At that point of redemption, it will be a precept to blow the shofar on the Jubilee. As it is written, see when he lifts up a banner in the mountain time, in the mountains, and when he blows a shofar here. For us, as with the redemption of the shofar of Jubilee, all slaves go free, so is the final redemption. Through the blowing of the shofar, all of Israel will assemble from the four points of the earth, since they are slaves until the Jubilee. The secret of the light redemption. Among masters of Torah, there are also slaves on the condition of receiving payment. And they are called slaves of the king and queen. But of the children of the holy king it is written, I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself, meaning on the wings of the living creatures of the chariot. This is an amazing verse. It speaks of these two levels of people. One who is a slave to the physical world, living in exile from Israel, and attracted to all of the pleasures of the physical world, which takes them away from their spiritual work and their Torah study. And the others who are masters of Torah is the phrase that is used here. But they are also slaves, many of them, because they are doing the Torah study with the expectation of receiving physical pleasures, reward in this world. Ultimately, all of our actions should have one ultimate consciousness: to give pleasure to the Creator, because we are utilizing His creations to give us pleasure. By Him seeing us use those things, by Him seeing us utilize the tools that He has created for us, it gives Him pleasure, it gives Him nachas, nachat, comfort and love. And this creates the circuit of energy and nothing else. If we could go around 24/7 with the consciousness that I'm doing this action for the sake of the Creator, to give the Creator pleasure. And that's essentially the meaning and the understanding of the L'shem Yichud. Verse 26. Pikuda batar dalatet lelvim arim l'shevet ugin dinun la ishtatafu bag la kuchabarihu chalak lon legabe lemecheve minag nin le bekama mine nagyun de kohanim ba'avodatan ulevim l'shiram uzimram v'Yisrael lin v'hem kohanim ba'avodatam di'it taman kama pikudim. The precept after this is to give the Levites cities of dwelling, since they did not participate in the sin of the golden calf. The Holy One, blessed be He, set them apart for Himself to play numerous types of melodies for Him. Thus the priests fulfilled their function, as did the Levites with song and music, and the children of Israel in their dwellings. The priests had numerous commandments. The whole process of the temple was a unification of the three columns. And the tools that were used were the Kohanim, the right column, the Levites, the left column, and the Israelites, the central column. When the Israelite brought his sacrifice, he listened to the songs being sung by the Levites, and he watched the Kohen sacrifice the animal or the flower or whatever he had brought. And in this process, ritual upon ritual, building one on top of the other, in this process, the worlds were unified. The nation was unified. And any separation that had been created was corrected. And if there was no separation, it continued to elevate the worlds. And all of this was giving pleasure to the Creator to observe His creations being used in this way. Verse 27. Pikudah le'asot sem shemen amishcha bet levim shomrin b'mikdash gimel Yisrael Leira min hamikdash dalet avodat halevim bebeit hamikdash hei lehakatir ketoret ba'amayim vav bechanim Tokayim b'chatzotzirot b'amikdash zayin l'kadesh zera acharon b'amikdash chet l'levosh b'gdei kechuna b'amikdash tet d'chitzat v'dayim v'raglayim la'avod b'amikdash. The first precept is to make the anointing oil. The second is for the Levites to guard in the temple. The third is for Israel to revere the temple. The fourth concerns the service of the Levites in the temple. The fifth is to burn incense twice daily. The sixth is for the priests to blow the trumpets in the temple. The seventh is to sanctify the seed of Aaron in the temple. The eighth is to wear priestly garments in the temple. The ninth is the washing of hands and feet for worship in the temple. It's also good just to list the mitzvot. And that's what's being done here, listing the mitzvot that the priests were involved with. It mentions the Levites as guards on the temple. But who oversaw the guarding? That of the priests. All of these mitzvot we're not able to do because the temple isn't revealed in our world yet again. Verse 28, we continue to read the list of the mitzvot. Yod liyot hakohanim osim karbanot b'mikdash. Yod aleph liftot pesuli ha-mukdashin. Yod bet karban hayoleret b'yom Hashmini Yud Gimel Imploach Kirabanot Bamikdash Yud Dalet Lasot Haola Bamik Mishpata Tetvav Lasot Hachatat Kemishpato Tetzayan Akilat Kadishim Kemishvat lekohanim Yud Zayin Akilat Sheyarei Menachot Chet Yud Lasot Benachot Bamitzvavtan Yud Tet Lechavi Karbanot Levet Hamikdash Kaf Lehavi Neder O Nedava Levet Hamikdash Kaf Aleph Lechaki Karbanot Kadishim Tamurot Uli Luladot Gimel Bet Lechadrev Shemi Shene Tamindin Kechil Katan Kaf Gimel Lechadlik Esh tamid al hamizbeach. The tenth is for the priests to offer sacrifices in the temple. The 11th is to redeem those rejected for offering. The 12th is the offering of the woman who has given birth on the 8th day. The 13th is to strew salt over the sacrifices in the temple. The 14th is to prepare the burnt offering according to its prescribed manner. The 15th is to prepare the sin offering according to its prescribed manner. The 16th is the eating of the holy things according to the custom of the priests. The 17th is the eating of the leftovers of the meal offerings. The 18th is to prepare the meal offering according to the prescribed manner. The 19th is to bring offerings to the temple. The 20th is to bring a vow or a freewill offering. The 21st is to bring offerings only things in exchange for the newly born. The 22nd is to sacrifice the daily offering according to the prescribed manner. The 23rd is to burn constant fire on the altar. Continuing the list in verse 29 and also in verse 30. So I'm going to read both verses together and then the English translations. I'm not going to comment on these different mitzvot, but each deserves a comment, each deserves an explanation, each deserves going deeper and understanding the why of the mitzvah, and understanding the metaphor of the mitzvah, and understanding all of the different levels of the mitzvah. And perhaps one day I will have the merit to be able to teach that. Kaf dalet lasot terumat chad eshen kaf he lechad lik nerot ham nora kaf vav lechakriv mincha b'kol yom kaf zayin lechakriv musaf b'shabbat kaf chet lechastir lachem ulvona kaf tet lechakriv Karban Musaf Berab Barchet Li Lechakriv Bazayan Yomye Hapata Hapesa Lamed Aleph Lechakriv Biyom Haomar Kavash Leola Lamed Bet Lechakriv Haomer Lamed Gimel Lechakriv Karban Musaf B'Shavuot Lamed Dalet Lechakriv Shetei Chalechem B'Shavuot Lamed Hev Lechakriv Musaf B'Ravichei. Lamed Vav Lechakriv Musaf B'Yom HaKippurim Lamed Zayin Lechakriv Musaf B'Zayin Yemei Chechag Lamed Chet Lechakriv Musaf B'Shmini Atzeret Tet Lamed Lishrof Et HaNotar Ba'esh Mem Lishrot Kadishim Shanit Ma'u Mem Aleph Lavod Behen Gadol Bayom HaKippurim. Verse 30. Mem Bet Hamoel El Behekdesh Keren Vechomesh Mem Gimel Karban Chatat Mem Dalet Asham Talu Al Sefeko Mem He Karban Isham Vedai Al Hayal Dua Mem Vav Karban Ola Biored Mem Zion Karban Sanhedre Gedola Shetau. Memchet lechakriv hazav achar sheyitaher memtet karban zava achar shetikatitaher nun karban yoldot nun aleph karban mitzorayim mitaman ve'elach Sheir Pikudim. The 24th verse is to take of the ashes. The 25th is to light the candles of the candelabra. The 26th is to offer a meal offering daily. The 27th is to offer an additional offering on Shabbat. The 28th is to arrange bread and frankincense. The 29th is to offer an additional offering on the new moon. The 30th is to sacrifice on the 7 days of the Pesach. The 31st is to offer a lamb as burnt offering on the day of the Omer. The 32nd is to offer the Omer. The 33rd is to offer an additional offering on Shavuot. The 34th is to offer 2 loaves of bread on Shavuot. The 35th is to offer an additional offering to Rosh Hashanah. The 36th is to offer an additional offering on Yom Kippur. The 37th is to offer an additional sacrifice on the 7 days of Sukkot. The 38th is to offer an additional offering on Shmini Atzeret. The 39th is to burn the remains in fire. The 40th is to burn the holy things that became impure. The 41st concerns the service of the high priest on Yom Kippur. The 42nd concerns he who trespasses against temple property. His punishment is to repay the cost plus 1/5 of the cost of the property. The 43rd is the offering of the sin offering. The 44th concerns guilt offering. When there is doubt whether a sin was committed, the 45th concerns an offering for a guilt offering when guilt is undoubted. The 46th is an offering of higher and lesser value. The 47th is the offering of the members of the Sanhedrin when they made an error. The 48th is for he who had an issue to offer after he is cleansed of the issue. The 49th is the offering of a woman who had an issue after she is cleaned of it. The 50th concerns the offering of a woman who gave birth. The 51st concerns the offering of the leprous. From there proceed the other precepts. The question is, why are only 51 listed? Because elsewhere, the Zohar really doesn't list the mitzvot like this. It does so in the preface, at least lists 10 mitzvot that are primary and paramount. Not 10, but 14 mitzvot. None of those 14 are listed here because those 14 apply to everyone. And these 51 apply only to the Kohanim, with some use by the Levim as tools of the Kohanim. So there are interesting questions that arise from this parasha. I hope you enjoyed it. And I wish you Shabbat Shalom and enjoy the reading tomorrow.